Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to an adventure in history. We're so happy you're joining us. And I'm missing my partner in crime, but I brought my other partner in crime. Thanks for being here, Mark.
Yeah, well, I am a poor substitute for your partner in crime, but I'm close. So
I know.
I'm right down the street. It's easy for me to get over here.
Someone put, you know, our historian and beloved executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society has been a little busy this weekend, celebrating
sure
40 years of Short Circuit.
Lots going on.
41 years of the Goonies. Lots going out on, and, you know, like, never put a historian in the sun. But, you know, part of the Historical Society is also the Friends of the Astoria Column. So sometimes it happens.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to fill in.
So I have Mark, my husband, Mark Quila, here with us.
Hi.
So you get to be here.
Okay.
He's so excited, as you can tell. So we're going to start with this day in history. This is for tomorrow, June 8th. And things to bring up. Water cooler. Yeah, we always do tomorrow. He's like looking at me. Why do you do it? This. It's actually tomorrow in history. Because our show airs at 8:30 at night, right? And if you're listening on a podcast, you're often listening the next day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So June 8th, I'm going to start with 6:32. Any guesses? This is when I like raise my eyebrows. I'm like, oh my gosh, Mac.
Nope.
Muhammad the prophet who spread Islam dies.
Oh.
6:32.
Okay. Wow.
So kind of important, yeah.
Okay.
Very important. Fast forward a couple centuries. 1948, the first Porsche was completed.
Oh, really?
Were you a Porsche guy? Were you a car guy? You're not, I mean...
Not really. I mean, yeah,
I thought Porsche... Chevy Tahoe.
We all were car guys back in like junior high and high school. Thought they were all... Porsches were pretty cool, but...
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But not
could never afford one.
It's not
didn't matter.
It's not in our family budget now.
No.
So yeah, that was 1948, and it was really kind of the start of like the luxury line,
right,
of cars. So 1948.
Very cool.
1949, the FBI releases a list with Hollywood names identified as communists.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Pretty rough. I mean, pretty bleak history for Hollywood and for America at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. 1949, same year, George Orwell's 1984 is published. Now, this novel's all-seeing leader is known as Big Brother. This is where the term comes from.
Yeah.
And it becomes a universal symbol for intrusive government and oppressive bureaucracy.
Yes. Yeah. We had to read it in school.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, this was, did you actually read it?
Well,
parts of
the abridged version, I think I read.
You know, I've never read 1984. Yeah. Is it good?
Pretty scary. We read that and Animal Farm. Yeah.
Oh, Animal Farm's tough too. I did read that one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1984, Ghostbusters is released.
Oh, that was big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when that came out. That was the big movie of the summer.
And who are you going to call?
Yeah, the song was out, video was out, and we were waiting for it to come to Astoria, and I was calling every week to see when Ghostbusters was coming to the theater.
And was it the Liberty then?
Well, I think it was coming to the Columbian Theater at the time.
Okay, at the Columbian.
And then we waited several weeks, and I had friends that went and saw it in Portland and loved it and was telling me all about it, and I was like, oh, geez, I want it to come.
I know.
Finally, when it did, I saw it a couple times.
And what a great cast.
It was great.
Very memorable.
It was a lot of fun. My dad actually went and slept through it. And he also slept through Star Wars. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was never
a
fan of those movies. Yeah.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, it's funny. This is one of the shows that our kids have asked to watch because they've heard the music. And then they see some of the little clips, and the clips are so funny. But the movie's actually pretty scary.
Intense parts.
It's
fun.
We haven't showed them. But I do think it was really well made.
Yeah.
Let's see. 1968. James Earl Ray. Ring a bell? This was an escaped American convict. He's arrested in London, England. He's captured and charged with the assassination of African-American civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. So it was April 4th, so a couple months earlier in 1968 in Memphis, King was fatally wounded by a sniper's bullet while standing on the balcony outside his second store room at the Motel Lorraine. Now, that evening, a Remington hunting rifle was found on the sidewalk beside a rooming house one block from the Lorraine Motel, because it's, you know, you just leave the weapon behind, right?
Yeah.
During the next several weeks, the rifle, eyewitness reports, and fingerprints on the weapon all implicated a single suspect, escaped convict James Earl Ray, a two-bit criminal. He had escaped from a Missouri prison in April 1967 while serving a sentence for a holdup. In May 1968, a massive manhunt for him began. The FBI eventually determined he'd obtained a Canadian passport under a false identity, which at the time was pretty easy. That's kind of a big deal. And it also made my list because Carly and I just were recently in Savannah, Georgia, and we took a bike tour. I know you were super jealous because we went to all these historic sites.
I know. You guys had a good time.
But one of the sites was the Ebenezer Baptist Church. It was this tiny little church. I think it was one of the smallest churches in all of Savannah. But it is where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech prior to giving it in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
And he had done so with the expectation of Savannah being pretty moderate at the time. Uh-huh. I mean, all of us, our eyes are kind of going, oh, you know, are wide. And so he wanted an audience that would critique the speech.
Oh, okay.
So he was very open about what it was going to be, where he was going to give it, and the influence he wanted it to have.
Yeah.
Zero feedback.
Really?
Other than it was perfect.
Oh.
So no edits made after that.
Yeah.
Again, very small, very exclusive audience of people in that community right there in downtown Savannah, but pretty impactful. And Carly was very impressed because she actually had given a speech this year about his speech.
Yeah.
So
what a fun experience for her.
Kind of a neat thing.
That
but
connection
just,
and
And Savannah
in person.
Is filled with churches. They're beautiful, beautiful churches. Lots of Catholic churches and Baptist churches. And we also had learned too, this is kind of I'm going down a rabbit hole, but many of the churches were not segregated, even in the early times, 40s, 50s, 60s, because people went to their neighborhood church. So depending on what religion you were, you went to that. So you went to the Catholic church, right, in your parish, or you went to your Baptist church. Right. But the neighborhoods were pretty desegregated at the time. So you just walked to where your church was, and then that's where you had your service. So it's kind of an interesting little tidbit we learned.
Yeah. Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah.
Wish I could have gone.
Next time. Sorry, babe. Now I'm just rubbing it in. Okay, so since Mac's not here, I did get to pick the event that I think had the most influence on history. This, too, also happened on this day in history in 1953. Ties in well with the last conversation because the Supreme Court rules against segregated lunchroom counters. So this challenge to segregation initially came from an African-American activist, Mary Church Terrell. She was 87.
Wow.
87 years old. She was the chair of the Washington's Coordinating Committee, which fought for desegregation across the city, Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Thanks to research, she she had quite a crew and quite a pocket of lawyers and other activists that she worked with. But she had learned, again, 87 years old, that there were a number of laws from the Reconstruction era that did outlaw segregation in D.C., but it was not enforced and had technically never been repealed. So consequently, on January 27th of 1950, so 3 years prior, she and a small group of friends walked through the doors of Thompson's Diner and requested a table. After the manager promptly refused to serve them, the coordinating committee thrust the issue of segregating eating establishments onto the legal and social stage of the nation's capital, made its way to the Supreme Court 3 years later, and they ruled against the segregated lunchroom counters, saying that it already was illegal and it just hadn't been repealed. This was only preceding, so 1 year later, Brown versus Board of Education would outlaw segregation in schools, ruling separate was not equal. So kind of huge, you know, very influential time in history, lunchrooms, and then classrooms. And classrooms was even harder, right? I mean, because classrooms was all ages, pretty tough to do. So
right. One big milestone in amongst other milestones.
Yeah. And as you and I know, and I always like to point this out too. So Brown versus Board of Education also affected people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So while it was a racial just milestone because the segregation was so easily identified, it also affected people that were segregated because of a disability. So our siblings also were allowed access to education at the school of their peers, right, in their neighborhood, access to those, to that area of education because of that ruling.
Yeah.
So there have been so many follow-ups to that ruling, dealing with people with disabilities in education, and it all goes back to Brown versus Board.
Really?
So kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I had made that connection.
Wow. Yeah. I did a college paper on it. Ah, I could find it someday and make you read it.
Yeah. I have to read.
Yeah, I know. You got to read. We also have our cousin Beth here. Beth is here. She's always our loyal listener. She's in the room. She kind of lets us know whether or not we're, you know, we're doing a thumbs up performance or thumbs down. What are we doing so far? So thumbs up so far.
All right, good.
Thank you, Beth. We're glad you're here too. But one of the reasons I brought you in, because you have kind of been a frequent flyer on our show lately, was because Mac was ditching me for the day, but also because the Astoria Regatta is in full bloom. It's going the end of the summer, it kind of ends the summer with their big event, mm-hmm. but their events happen throughout the year.
Right.
And so I just wanted to talk about this because your family has been here your whole life and very involved. That's a little deep tease. We're going to get into that a little bit. So let's just start. I just wanted to say this is from the Astoria Regatta website. Some very useful information. But this event started in 1894 when the waterfront here was just bustling with fishermen, canneries, and a very water-focused community. The regatta's origins began as a casual remark between two Astorians and quickly blossomed into one of the premier boat races on the West Coast. As Astoria grew into a cultural hodgepodge of Native Americans, Scandinavians, Chinese, and a polyglot of American Europeans, the regatta became a thriving downtown event featuring elaborate festivities on the wooden piers, a boat parade, and a land parade.
Okay, well, this isn't off the top of my head, so I'm reading this. But, however, like many things, the regatta faced challenges, including the suspension of celebrations during World War I, and after a devastating fire, of course, the big fire in 1921, and it was reborn in 1931 and again suspended during World War II. So several interruptions at the beginning of the century, 19th century. But then in 1948, the regatta roared back to life with boat races and a salmon derby that drew thousands of sport fishermen to the Columbia River. And the event awarded cash prizes for the largest fish caught during the three-day derby. It says, though curtailed in the late 60s due to Oregon Fish and Wildlife regulations, the regatta remains a cherished family tradition. I mean, they certainly could do a salmon derby again.
Yeah.
I mean, they just...
I wonder what happened. At the time.
Can't catch more than... I mean...
Right. You got to catch the right ones.
Right. Right. And then can only catch how many, you know, one, two, or three, depending on what the part of the season and what the limit is. But
so if the committee wants to bring it back...
They could bring it back. maybe there are some issues there and...
So don't send them your way. Okay. So it is 5 days of fun on land and sea. It has parades, great food, unique traditions. Most regatta events are free to the public. Some events have a small fee to help support ongoing regatta scholarships and education events. A favorite community event is the Regatta Square Block Party. It features food, beverages, and a family fun zone.
And that is CMH sponsored.
Ooh.
Regatta Square.
Yeah. I love it.
And then the Queen's Coronation is a signature event and free to the public. This year, the event is on Wednesday, August 5th at 7 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. And there are four princesses, two young women from Astoria High School and two from Seaside High School. And I was honored to assist one of the students from Seaside, Mackenzie Haig, who's actually featuring my mom in her speech. So my mom, Judy Quiela, or Judy Palmberg Quiela,
yes,
was the regatta queen in 1956. So it's actually the 70th year.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
70th year, which I couldn't even fathom that it would be that long ago. But 1956, she was the regatta queen. And so Mackenzie's doing a speech about her.
And so Mackenzie
and each of the regatta queens or regatta princesses are featuring a queen or highlighting, yes, or spotlighting a queen in their speeches. And I got to hear all of them because they did it for the first time at one of these regatta meetings, and they invited me to go. And they're all so good. All four princesses did such a fantastic job. They're so poised and they're so articulate, and the speeches are just great.
Emotional, nice.
You know, they make,
right.
And it certainly was emotional for me to hear Mackenzie's speech about my mom. She did just a fantastic job, but they all did. And I know there's many opportunities to kind of hear them, whether it's, you know, the chamber breakfast or the Rotary or whatever. There's some other, you know.
I mean, these are the activities they're doing all year.
They're doing it all summer, and then it culminates, you know, this August during the regatta. And they are just really impressive young women.
So the other queens that were selected, are they also from a long time ago, or how did
they pick? Kind of through the years. So
okay.
I think all up until a few years ago. I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
It's really just kind of all through the
years.
Oh,
I love that.
And one of them is one that you and I think would remember because I'm trying to think of her name, but I think MC'd one of those regatta coronations, regatta queen coronations, and I think she was one of the
one
queens
who had won.
If I remember correctly, but it's really really cool that they take, you know, a decade or, just through the years and highlight one of the queens and talk about, their life and then talk and just, it's kind of fun too to, you know, see all that they accomplish over the years. So there's so many of these princesses and queens that come back and just have, you know, done so well in their lives,
all of them.
They're
right?
Just really impressive people.
Yes. Yeah. So when Mackenzie reached out to you, what did you tell her? What did you share with her about your mom and your mom's experience? I know your mom always loved her time as on the regatta and on the court. Always made it sure that she attended the Queen's event every year, the Queen's luncheon and the coronation. So what were those memories that you shared?
Well, it was a really big deal for her. In fact, it also kind of influenced where she went to college because she wanted to be close because she had talked about going to Stanford, which is where her dad went, my grandfather.
Oh, okay.
And then because she wanted to be close and continue her reign as
queen,
she was so pleased to go to Oregon State University and be able to travel back and forth. I know that was one of the things that she had said.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So she was selected her senior year then.
Yeah, her senior year. And then she went to Oregon State. And then she also came back and did events with the regatta.
Right.
So it was a big deal for her. Real big deal. And just seeing some of the photos and videos or I guess mostly photos, but I think there were some movies from the parade. That was a big deal. Yeah.
And what was your mom's favorite event? Do you remember her talking about the events? Were they different from when you were going to the regatta?
I think it was the parade was just her big,
like the big deal.
Yeah. That was her highlight, and that she knew so many, friends and relatives were there to kind of cheer her on. And of course they did a lot on the boats too. So they did a lot of photo ops on the boats and the boat parade. And so there was just a lot of pomp and circumstance that she really enjoyed.
And what do you remember? What were, aside from the parade, was there anything unique? Do you remember the boat races? Did they have boat races back then?
You know, vaguely, I remembered a gillnet boat race.
Okay.
When we were young.
Did your dad do it?
No, he didn't do it. But I think we had a couple of my dad's good friends that were in it and kind of followed it that way. But I don't remember him very well. It was a long time ago, and I was pretty young at the time.
Right.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Regatta was just a big event, and of course, my mom was always excited to go back, and you know, she served as a judge 1 year, and then also was in the parade year after year as a past queen.
Past queen, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's quite, I mean, they do a good job, I believe, of bringing that sense of community and history to the new generation of young women.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's always a really fun event.
It is.
And we've always enjoyed going as well. You've been an admiral's aide.
Yeah.
Twice?
No.
Just the once?
No, just the once. I was admiral's aide, I think it was 2008.
To the Lums,
which was so much fun.
Julie and Lori.
Yeah, that was a really fun time. And yeah, a whirlwind of a week, but just a great time.
I remember seeing the schedule and I was just like, oh my God, how do we do this? And there were so many events.
So much going on. And then just to think about the court, the regatta court, I mean, they have more.
Right.
That they have. Mm-hmm. So it has to be so exhausting for them to be shuttled from one thing to another and to be, you know, making speeches throughout. Right. And just it's a lot of, it's a big demand on
these young women.
On these young women during that week. But I just really loved being the admiral's aide for the Lum girls. They were just so much fun. And I remember that, I think it was the admiral's reception that we went to at the Maritime Museum, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was fun. That was just so much fun. We danced.
There was dancing. You know. Yes, live music.
That was a great night. And then I was the co-admiral with Mayor Arlene Lemaire from Astoria. And that was, 2016 maybe.
Okay.
So I think it's 2016.
Oh, right. Carly. Or no, was it 2015? Or was it that I don't remember?
I don't either, but it was really nice that both Mayor Lemaire and I was mayor of Warrenton at the time. It was a gesture to bring both of us together and mm-hmm. have us be co-admirals. And so we got to share the responsibility, which made it easier.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's so pretty cool too, because these young women on the court, they're paired with women from local businesses and the community, and these women serve as a mentor then. So they're each assigned a mentor, and the mentors work and live right here in Clatsop County, and they serve as a guide and advocate for those young women. And the mentors are selected based on their commitment to the program, because they too have to commit quite a bit. Even just the parades alone that these young women and volunteers do is pretty extensive.
Yeah.
They get to work. I'm just going to keep going. They work with a speech coach to help write and deliver their speeches. And then each member on the court, including the queen, they do receive a scholarship for advanced education, which is pretty important. And so I think that's a huge part of the coronation and their continued excellence, really, in preserving that history by offering those scholarships.
Yeah, and it's well earned and well deserved. I mean, it's a large commitment to be on the court, and I'm glad that they are rewarded with a scholarship and can utilize that towards their future education. And so many of them have leveraged that into, you know, great educations and great. Careers.
For sure. Yeah. Right. I mean, our current queen, Chantrelle, is going to an Ivy League college.
Yeah.
Almost entire. I think everything is paid for, actually.
Yeah.
So she's been amazing, and she's from Seaside.
Yeah.
And young women from all of Clatsop County can apply to be on the court. We've been part of the event where young women from Warrenton and Jewell and Napa have also participated.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is up to them. And they are looking for applications for the next year's court as well.
Yeah.
And it's quite a commitment, as we've been saying. So, you know, hats off to them. For more information about this event, you can go to astoriaregatta.com. And coming up on Wednesday, August 5th, that is the Queen's farewell and then the Queen's coronation. So that night will be the final night that they give their speeches. Mm-hmm. And then the Queen will be announced. And part of it will be based on their speech, but there's quite a bit more. There's an interview process. So it's a really, really cool process to be part of. And that's at the Liberty Theater.
Yeah.
Then the on Thursday, August 6th, the Astoria Family Fun Night and Kids Parade. And this year it's going to be at England Marine, which is kind of fun.
Oh, great.
Yeah, our kids have done this. Last year, I believe it was at the Maritime Museum, the parking lot by the Barbie Center.
Yeah.
They just did like a loop around the Barbie Center. Yeah. But I think that going over by England Marine will be kind of fun. And of course, England Marine, right? I mean, this is maritime.
I think that's perfect.
Still exists.
Perfect venue for it, yeah.
Friday, August 7th is the Seamen's Memorial Admiral's Reception, and that's Brett Estes and Norma Hernandez.
Fun.
Yes, super fun. And yacht races. So that'll be awesome. Saturday, August 8th, you want to read the list of all the things that are happening Saturday?
Yeah, so Saturday is a very busy day. Rose planting in the morning.
And that's at the Flavelle House.
That's at the Flavelle House.
Always.
And then the Regatta Square, of course, is throughout the day. So that's CMH is hosting or sponsoring that. And there's just a lot of fun activities for the whole family.
Face painting. Yeah. There's the
climbing walls.
Yes.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blow up things.
Yeah.
Things to jump on. And then, I mean, CMH does a pretty good job too. You guys set up like a little info booth too, where you can go around and learn different
things.
We have
a lot of booths.
But you make it very kid friendly.
It is fun. Yeah. And then there's the fun run. Speaking of fun. And the Grandland Parade, of course, is the big highlight of the day.
And there's more yacht races.
More yacht races.
There's a search and rescue demo by the Coast Guard.
Okay.
There's a boat parade.
Yes.
And then they're ending that evening with bingo.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So many activities to do.
A fun day.
And I did want to, so in June, just a couple weeks, actually, on June 23rd, the Regatta Court will be speaking at the Astoria Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce networking morning event. And that's at Astoria Brewing, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and it's from 8 to 9 a.m. And that's a great place to go visit and listen to these young women give their speeches as well if you aren't able to make it to the coronation.
Yeah. I would encourage folks to do that. It's just a great group of people that get together for those breakfasts every month. And this is one of the real highlights is to have the Regatta Court each year.
And June 23rd.
And give their speeches. So you get to hear it. Yeah.
You get to hear all of them. And then you can talk to them too, which is also nice. And they will have their mentors with them. It's a really, you know, just sort of fun atmosphere. I know that our kids love the kids parade, of course. Mm-hmm. We've done it every year. I think last year they decorated their bikes and scooters and did that.
Yeah.
And then we've taken a little break from actually being in parades. At one point, Carly had been in more parades than she was years old.
Yeah.
She's now 11. And so but I think she was in something like 10 parades.
Yeah. She was in a lot of parades. I remember in a car seat and.
Right. I mean, I was like, and at one point too, like, I think she was like, Dad, I want to be in the parade, but I'm going to be with the other group.
Yeah.
Maddox Dance Studio.
She no longer wanted to be with us.
So we know where that is. But, you know, we are so proud of the history of the Astoria Regatta. Thankful for your mom's ability and service to be able to be part of that. If you want to learn more, again, AstoriaRegattaGod.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for being my co-host today.
I enjoyed it.
Go out and make some history.
Great job. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.